Las Vegas, Nevada. Beneath the bright lights are thousands of workers keeping the town running, and criminals ready to take whatever they can. Early on the morning of December 11th, 2000, in the Las Vegas suburb of Henderson, a 17-year-old waitress was on her way to work. In a parking lot, a man offered her a ride to work.
I'm just going to work.
She declined.
Go, get in. Get in. Open. Hurry up, move it, get in.
His gun stopped her from crying out. He drove her to a secluded area where he sexually assaulted her. As soon as she could, she took her only chance and fled, running to a nearby restaurant to call 911. Henderson police took the call.
Are you injured? Do you need an ambulance, ma'am?
The girl gave a description of her attacker and his vehicle.
Did he have any weapons?
The patrol officer headed to the restaurant to interview the young woman and take her to a nearby medical center. En route, he spotted a red sports car that matched the description given by the victim. When the officer approached, the driver sped away. As they neared the city and busier streets, the suspect's driving became more erratic. The officer decided the risk to civilians was too great and pulled back. But police now had the vehicle's license plate number. Henderson PD ran the tags and traced the vehicle to a Las Vegas address. Las Vegas detective Barry Jensen contacted the owner, who explained he had given the car to his daughter to use. The owner said he and his daughter, Rachel Mills, would meet Detective Jensen at her apartment. She had just gotten off work from a local casino. When the detective arrived, he told them about the car eluding police and reported sexual assault. Rachel said that her husband had the car that morning. He had dropped her off at work at 5 a.m. and she had not seen him since. She hoped there had been some mistake.
She knew that he'd been arrested for sexual assault in the past. She knew that he'd been in prison, but she didn't believe any of that was true, or she didn't want to believe that any of that was true.
Rachel had noticed their car had been parked across the lot. Detective Jensen asked her to check the apartment and see if her husband had returned. He and her father would check out the car. Looking around the apartment, she realized that her husband had taken most of his belongings. It appeared as if he had left her. The father owned the car, but since Rachel and her husband were the regular drivers, only they could consent to a search.
anything missing?
His stuff is gone. His clothes, the drawers, all the stuff he keeps on the dresser, photos, I don't know. Everything seems it's gone.
Would you give me your verbal consent to search the car without getting a search warrant?
Oh, okay.
And you have a set of keys?
Though shaken by what was happening, Rachel gave Jensen permission to search the vehicle. The detective believed the placement of the car far from the apartment was telling.
In my opinion, it was hidden in the parking lot. I think he knew the police were going to find his apartment. If his car wasn't parked right out front, I think he felt that he had more time. He was creating more distance between law enforcement and himself.
Inside the car, Jensen noticed that the few personal effects matched what the assault victim described, pointing more suspicion toward Rachel's husband. She said he didn't have a regular job, but beyond that, Rachel and her father were unable to give the detective much more information.
All they were able to tell us was that he loved to play blackjack and craps. They had no idea where he was getting the money to do that.
Jensen called for crime scene technicians to process the car in case there was unseen evidence inside.
It's going to be about 15 minutes for the tow truck to get here.
He had to tell Rachel that her husband was a strong suspect in the assault of a 17-year-old girl. At his request, she gave Jensen a photo of her husband, Magfour Mansour. If Mansour was the assailant, Jensen hoped the victim could ID him based on the photo.